Today, on Commitment to Truth.
See, if you believe in your heart, I used to tell my kids that you'll show me how much you love me by how you care for the things I give you. If I give you a toy and you throw it up against the wall and smash it into pieces, I'm going to think you don't think very much of me. Well, I think God acts the same way. I think we show God how much we love him by how we care for what he gives us.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we begin a series titled, Life After Death. You may think that life after death speaks of only when our physical bodies pass away, but what about the life after death here on earth? This is what we call being born again. This sermon series will describe how to live our lives after we have died to ourselves and live a life crucified in Christ. Here's Pastor Ken Jones, teaching pastor at Commitment Church, with today's message.
All right, so sermon series. While Pastor's away, we got a 4-week sermon series called Life After Death. Now, I'm sure when you think about life after death, you're thinking, we die, we go to heaven. Or not, depending on your status. But there's more to it than that. And we can blame Marissa for this sermon series because she came to my house one day wearing this t-shirt. But if you can't see it, it says YOLOLOLJKBRB Jesus. Well, I honestly can tell you I don't speak text. Therefore, I had no idea what it said. And I went, ha ha ha, that's cute. And I ignored it. Well, 2 days later, I receive a picture from my daughter who lives out in Washington State of her and her husband, and her husband's wearing the same shirt. I went, maybe there's something to this. So the next time I saw Marissa, I said, okay, I need you to interpret what your shirt says. And here's what it says. YOLO is you only live once. LOL is laugh out loud, we know that. JK is just kidding. BRB is be right back, Jesus. And I thought, oh, cool. That's a nice little tool that we can use to witness to people. I thought that was a pretty neat idea. But as I started contemplating this, it's giving the impression that there's a second life. Our first life here on earth, our second life, wherever that happens to be. But I would like to suggest to you as believers, as Christians, we have three lives. And the one that's in the middle is the one I want to talk about. What am I talking about, you ask? Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. Or your phones, or your tablets, or just look up here. John chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. This is an interesting meeting here that takes place while Jesus is here on earth with this guy Nicodemus. There's a TV show out there called The Chosen, if you've had an opportunity to see it, and The Chosen does a very interesting depiction of this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. But what I noticed in the TV show, and I believe to be true to a certain extent, is that whenever Nicodemus would walk around, he would be followed by a whole group of students, if you will, people that are students of the word. And whenever they would ask him a question, they would always start with, oh, great scholar Pharisee, you who know the word so well, we want to ask you a question. And they would butter him up first and then ask the question. And I think that's exactly what Nicodemus is doing here to Jesus. He's buttering him up. Oh, you know so much, you couldn't do these things, but you came from God. Yeah, this is really great. And Jesus sees right through it, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus cut right through the stuff. and hit him right where he hurt. Jesus knew exactly the question he was going to ask before he opened his mouth. And Jesus didn't want to hear the fluff. So he tells him. Now, Nicodemus has got his feelings hurt. Because, well, you know, he wanted this all to go the way it should go. You know, I build you up, and then you say, gee, thanks, that's really great. I ask you this question, and you calmly answer the question so I can understand it. And instead, Jesus just nails him between the eyes. So now he's got his feelings hurt. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Duh. No. That's just Nicodemus being a wise guy. Of course he knows that. The old rhetorical question. So God decides to help him understand. Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. So, born of water, what does that mean? Well, we all know that when the baby's in the mother's womb, there's amniotic fluid that surrounds the baby. And how do we know the baby's coming? The water breaks. Okay, so what Jesus is talking about here, born of the water, means we're born in flesh. But there's another birth, if you've trusted Christ, and that is the spiritual birth. Because you see, the Bible says very clearly that our spirit is dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. So we need to take care of that sin problem. Let me tell you how we do this. And I'm going to take it through a walk. Well, let me do this first. Verse 8. I always thought this was pretty cool. John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, and do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, for a long time in my spiritual walk, I had no idea what that verse meant. Yeah, the wind blows, and I don't know where the wind blows. Okay. What in the world is he talking about? But as I begin to study this and look a little deeper into it, God kind of laid this on me. When you got saved, did you plan it? Did you have any idea when you walked in the door that you were going to get saved that day? No, of course not. Because, see, we couldn't see our sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. It took Jesus to all of a sudden come into our lives, open our eyes, and reveal ourselves and understand we can't do nothing about it. But that comes from God. So when we walk in the door, it's all of a sudden, bang. Guess what? You're a sinner in need of a Savior. And we walk around our whole lives not understanding that concept until we come face to face with Jesus Christ in our sin. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. I know for a fact when I got saved at 5 years old, I had no plans of walking into church that Sunday morning and raising my hand and say, preacher, at 5 o'clock I'm going to get saved today. But God tugged on that little boy's heart and helped him to understand that he was doing everything wrong. And he was making mama mad and he couldn't do anything about it because he needed a Savior.
Thank you for joining us for today's message from Commitment to Truth. We'll continue with the second part of the message right after this.
Act like a man. Woman, can you help me? 1 Corinthians 16:13 through 14 says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. These explosive words could and should ignite a sense of responsibility within the heart of every man across the planet, or at least in the heart of you, the reader. You can purchase this book and others by Cedric Brown at cedricbrown.com.
Thank you again for joining us for today's message from Commitment to Truth. We now return for the second half of our message.
So how do we do this? I want to explain this out real quick for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to take you for a walk down the Romans Road. What's the Romans Road, you may ask? I always encourage people when they go out to witness that whenever you're talking to someone about being born again, that you show them from the Word of God how to be born again. Don't do it from your own mouth because they can argue with you because it becomes your words. So show them. Open the Bible. Let them see the verses. So they can see that what you're talking about comes from God. And their argument isn't with you, it's with God. So I'll start with Romans 3:23. Now I like to go state that I call it the Romans Road because all the verses come from Romans. And it kind of makes it easier that way. You don't have to fumble around trying to find Ecclesiastes or First Hezekiah. That was a test. There is no Hezekiah. All right, so we stay in one book, and that way we can find our way. We can move through it quick, and people can see. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us, from Adam to the Pope, have sinned. There is not a man alive, before, now, or after, that did not sin, except for Jesus Christ, because he was God. So every one of us has sin in our lives. I have a very good friend who I have witnessed to many times. He's been through some cancer treatments. I tried to talk to him about God, about his understanding of his sin life and the need for a Savior. And he says to me, "Hey, I've lived a good life. I've been good. I've done good things to help people. God's not going to reject me." And I said, "Oh, you've never made a mistake then." He goes, "Oh, no, I made a mistake. Sure, nobody's perfect." That's Romans 3:23. Exactly. Nobody's perfect. But Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So here we go. We got a sin problem. We all sin, and the price for that is death. Now, that death does not mean physical death. We're all going to die physically, unless trumpet sounds between now and then. Okay, the Bible's very clear on that. It says, you know, the appointed to man wants to die and then judgment. So we're all going to die. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about separation from God. Our sin separates us from God. Think about the cross. And Jesus is hanging on the cross. And some of his last words were, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God the Father had to turn his back on God the Son, because God the Son was covered with the sins of humankind. And he could no longer be with his Son, because God cannot allow sin in his presence. Therefore, if we are still in our sin, we can't be with God. Period. The end. Now, Romans 6:23 finishes, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." How do we get that free gift? Well, let's look at Romans 5:8. "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our place as our substitute." He took our place so we don't have to be separated from God. So how do we stop that separation? How do we get with God? Romans 10:9-10. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So you confess. All right, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross. So I'm good. Except there's something missing. It's that heart issue. I always told my kids that I could tell how much they loved me by how well they took care of the things I gave them. If I gave them a gift and they took it and threw it on the floor and smashed it and stomped all over it, I figured they didn't care about me very much. Well, I think God acts the same way. He's given us these bodies. He's given us many gifts. He's given us spiritual gifts for us to use and to exercise in the body of Christ. And if we don't use them, how much do we really love them? So we have to believe in our heart. There's a love portion of believing in God that we need to understand and practice. And believing in our heart results in something that we need to do. It's a concept I call repentance. The Bible calls repentance. What is repentance? It's a change of lifestyle. See, if you're living your life in sin, and you are dead in your trespasses and sin, and you're continuing to sin, you're walking towards Satan. Slowly but surely, because at the end of your life, that's where you'll be. But when you trust Christ as Savior, when the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives within you, and the conviction of those sins now comes into your life, you're going to repent. You're going to turn in the opposite direction and start walking towards God. If you don't, then all you did was a fire drill. If you raised your hand in a church service and came up front and said that prayer and walked out the door and nothing changed in your life, you might need to revisit this whole thing. Because it's more than words from your mouth. It's what's in your heart. Now, repentance is not something that just John the Baptist did while he was running around in rabbit's hair fur or something he was dressed in and eating locusts and wild honey. Ugh. Give me a cow. So there's more than just John the Baptist saying repent, okay? It's a concept that we see all through Scripture. And I want to start with Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah 30, 15 says, "For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength." And the idea of repentance here in the Old Testament in the Hebrew means to return. Because in other words, the Hebrew people at that time had their sacrificial system, where they would bring their animals to the temple, they would sacrifice their animals, take care of their sin for a week or so. Okay, and they got away from that, and they started worshiping idols, and they got away from God and doing what God had asked them to do. So God brought problems into their lives. So what he's telling the people is, turn from the way you're going and come back to where you were when I first made you my people. Okay, that's the Old Testament concept of repentance. New Testament, Luke chapter 5. Verse 31 and 32 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Acts 3:19 says, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You see the concept of repent and return from the Old Testament concept. Acts 20:21 says, "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see the whole idea here is that salvation and repentance go hand in hand. It's all part of the same process. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation." You can be sorry for your sin, but if that being sorry for your sin doesn't change your life, you're still lost. I mean, I know that there was a period of time in my life when I was backsliding against God, and I did some stuff that was wrong, and I was sorry that I did it, but it didn't make any change in my life whatsoever. I was just sorry that I got caught more than I got sorry I was doing it. But a sorrow that leads to repentance, a sorrow, "I'm so sorry for what I did that I need to change this." That's the sorrow that leads to salvation. And that's the sorrow for sin that we need to have in our lives when we trust Christ.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Today, do you feel abandoned? Do you feel as though everybody is against you? Maybe you are living right now at odds with family members and friends, and you just feel absolutely abandoned. We see the scriptures remind us of this. God says, I will not abandon my people. You see, if you're God's people, in other words, if you put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you are his son, you are his daughter, he is your father, he is your friend, he is your Lord, he is I am, he is everything that you absolutely need today, and he will not abandon you. So again, next time you feel all alone, turn to this thought, this truth, is that God will not abandon his people. So make sure you're his people through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you again for listening to our series, Life After Death. From Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. We hope you are encouraged to know that life after death is not only a life of service, but also of fruitfulness. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.